Okay, we're going to start at the top of Kuf Chav Terum and Aleph. The Mishnah discussed how the division of the property that this individual wants to bequeath, how he did it. Did he use a Lashon Matana, or did he lose a Lashon Yerusha? So there, obviously not according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but according to the Chachamim, there'll be a difference. If he uses the Lashon of Matana, then it'll work, because in Matana, a person is able to give whenever they want at their own will and their own choice of to whom they give it. Whereas if he uses a lashon yerusha, then he becomes a person who is matneah mashakotuv b'torah. If matneah mashakotuv b'torah, it will not work. So there, the Mishnah concluded at the end that whether he wrote in the beginning or the middle or the end, that is mishum matana devarav kayamim. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss today. What does that mean? Hechidami matana b'tchila, hechidami b'amso, and hechidami basof. What does it mean that you use the term matana, beginning, middle, or end? So ki ata Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan. So when Rav Dimi came, said over the Rebbe of Yochanan, tinatein sadeh plonit leploni virasha. Zui matana b'tchila. So here he says, give such and such a field to such and such a person, and they will inherit it. That is a matana b'tchila. I mean that he used both the lashon of matana and the lashon of yerusha. But he started with the Lashon of Matana. Yirasha, vitina tein lo. That they will inherit it. Vitina tein lo. You should give it to them. Zoe Matana basof. That's using the term or Lashon Matana at the end. Yirasha, vitina tein lo, yirasha. Zu, hi Matana ba'emtza. This is when you use the term Matana notain ba'emtza. Now, here's the qualification. This right, the term matana is used. It's not using the yirusha, which is a loaded term, which is the term in the Torah. So I'm not sure it's necessarily natan, but it's not yirusha, and so that type of giving is outside of yirusha. So now here comes the qualification of this term in the Gemara, and this will be what was subject to a machlokas. We'll see. Davka v'adam echad v'sadeh achat. This is only true when you're talking about one person and one field. Aval v'adam echad u'shtei sadot. If it's one person in two different fields, or sadeh achat u'shnei bnei adam, or one field and two different people, lo, it won't work. Meaning that we have here a competition or almost a stira. Right? We have a contradiction in the sense, he uses the term matana, and he uses the term yerusha. So if he makes it a single statement about one person and one field, then we say, listen, the truth, what we're going to assume is that he made the term matana is really what he wanted to say, and he used the term of Yerusha, so we'll use Matana to override or to knock out the term Yerusha. But if there's a possibility that there are two fields that are being granted here, or there's a possibility that we're talking about two individuals, what we'll do is we'll divide his, you know, words, and we'll say that one term of Netina applied to one field, and the other term of Yerusha applied to the other field, or the same will be true by two individuals. If he's granting to two individuals, if he uses Lashon Matana by one and Lashon Yerusha by the other, we won't say that the Matana tells you that everything means Matana. It means that one he granted Derech Matana and he will get it, and the other one he granted Derech Yerusha and he will not get it. So we are not going to, the only time that it works, that we say Matana and Yerusha are in competition, and we say that Matana overrides, and that's it, is in a case where we have only one field and one person.
There are two, so what happens?
So the one who he says matana to will get it. The one who says yerusha to will not get it.
No, but if he doesn't tell over two sadot, I mean, to, how do we know which is what and who's?
Right. Well, the assumption here is that he spoke about this. You know, tinatein sadeh plonit and yerusha sadeh plonit. I mean, that he divided the words were divided amongst the different parts. The Rashbam uses a term that's almost borrowed from kritut. He calls it anashim mechulakim and sadot mechulakim. He talks about, you know, separate entities. If you're done with separate entities, we're going to apply the language to those separate entities as best we can. Now there's an argument here, which is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar disagrees, Omer. Afilu adam echad u'shtei sadot, sadeh achat u'shnei bnei adam. It makes no difference, right? As long as you're dealing with either one individual or one sadeh, right? Then we can say that the languages are overlapping somehow, and we will always say that the Lashon Matana is the one that governs. The case where we won't say that, Avel Shtei Sadot, Ushnei Bnei Adam Lo. Now this is a statement not necessarily of Rabbi Elazar, but the Gemara's conclusion to Rabbi Elazar's statement, which is that if you both have two people and two fields, where you have Gufim Mechulakim and Sadot Mechulakot, Right there, we won't say that the Lashon Matana automatically affects the Lashon Yerusha, and or the other way around, the Yerusha affects the Matana. We'll separate everything out and say that each statement that he makes will be looked at independently. So, now we have, that is the position of Rav Dimi, it's quoting Rav Yochanan, and then we have Rav Elazar disagrees. Then, Ki Ata Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said this, Tinatein Sade Plonit Leploni, Vayarash Ploni Sade Plonit. So this is David, the language that he's using. Right? He says, give such and such a field to such and such individual. And then such an individual, which is the other individual, the second individual, Rash Ploni Sade Plonit, will inherit the other field. So here we have what are called Shnei Bnei Adam and Shnei Sadot. Right? It's two fields and two people. And he used the phrase that he used with each one of them is different. So over there, we have Shnei Sadot and Shnei Bnei Adam. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kana. Yochanan says it works. So now, this is Ravin quoting Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to Rav Dimi before quoted. Rav Dimi before quoted Rabbi Yochanan says, it only works with one field and one person. That's it. Over here, the exact opposite. Rabbi Yochanan, according to Ravin, says that it works even with two fields and two people. Right? Kana, it works. And we say that the fact that he uses Lashon Matana in the same stretch of words, the same statement, that's enough to tell you that he means matana by everything. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lazar says, no, lo kana, he does not acquire it. It does not work in this case of shtei sadot and shnei bnei adam.
In other words, according to Rabbi Lazar, just the person who was the Lashon Matana did get it, just retarded. The question is the person.
Whether it applies to the Lashon Yerusha, correct. That is correct.
But it's obviously rather than what we said it just now.
Right, so that's exactly right. Somalei bai, they're open. Right, and chatatlan chado, ve'atkaflan chado. So he says, listen, Ravin, you're bringing something from Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. And we already have a Masorah from Rabbi Dimi and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Now one of them we can answer up, or one of them is clear based on your position, and one of them is problematic. Why? Bishlamo, the Rabbi Lazar called lo kasho. The position of Rabbi Lazar is easy to reconcile. Kan ba'dam echad ushtei sadot. Right, so when it is two people in two fields, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is now consistent. He said here, according to Ravin, that two fields, two people, we do not take the Lashon from one and apply it to the other. We say they're separate statements, separate grants, and therefore we look at each one individually. And that'll be true. Again, before when I said to you that Rabbi Elazar was quoted by Rav Dimi, I said the conclusion to that statement that it does not apply by two people in two fields was not part of his statement. Otherwise, this whole position, this whole memra of Abai doesn't make sense. That's the Gemara saying or concluding from that. So that's the answer is in the previous statement of Rav Dimi only addressed one field and one person. And one field, one person, then it does work according to Rabbi Elazar. Two people, two fields does not work according to Rabbi Elazar. And that would be the position of Rabbi Elazar, and we can reconcile between Ravin and Rav Dimi. The problem is, Elder Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. Right? Rabbi Yochanan is definitely problematic, because Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rav Dimi, says only by one field and one person do you apply the Lashon, you cross, right, pollinate the Lashon and say the Matana governs. Whereas by Rav Dimi, it's the exact opposite. Even by two fields and two people, he says that Matana will override Yerusha. So that's a kaz problem. So Gemara says, no problem, I'm a Raidin. Hope I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. That's exactly right. We have a machlokes between Rav Dimi and Ravin about what the position of Rabbi Yochanan was. So that's it. You're right. In Ochanami, we do have a stira here, and therefore we have a problem. Now, next opinion, Reish Lakish. So David, you asked about a language like this before. Reish Lakish Amar, look, na, he's not kone, Achimar, ploni, uploni, yerashu, sade, plonit, uplonit, shinetatim lahem, bematana, virashum. Alright, so now Reish Lakish says it doesn't work unless he has a lashon of Yerusha in the beginning, lashon of matana in the middle, lashon of Yerusha in the end, but also in the lashon of Yerusha, he has a two statements. So it's clear that we can't divide up and say that one Lashon here is talking about one field and one Lashon is talking about another field. Because the Rashu applies to both fields. Now when I say Shinatatim Lahem, it's clear that that's referencing back to the original two fields. And mention each field individually, what we were going to say is the first statement applies to one field and then the second statement will apply to the Next field. So we need to have, according to Reish Lakish, a clear statement that Yerusha, when I use Lashon Yerusha, I'm applying it to both fields. So that means then I know it's Mar'eh on the second Lashon, plural Lashon of Shina Tatim Lahem B'Matana, that also applies to both fields. It applies to both fields, then we'll say that it governs. Matana will govern and override the Lashon of Yerusha.
Right. He wants to give it to two people in one Lashon. What's the case?
All right, so here. I'll read you what the Rishbam says to explain. Hilkach. Lo kanu ad shimar Yerusha b'tchila. It doesn't work unless you say Yerusha in the beginning and Yerusha at the end. Umatana b'emsa. Why? D'hashtif yalif.
Is it matana for what? To be
Yerusha
or matana?
Matana. It won't be a matana. It won't work. Yerusha is matana. It won't work.
It can't be
Yerusha.
It
never. So dash yalif lashon matana lashon Yerusha. Now he's learning a lashon matana. Can teach you what the lashon Yerusha means. The lashon Yerusha nemar l'shneim. Because just like Yerusha was said about both fields, gama matana beemsa nemra bal korcha l'shneim is also said by both fields. To the man tarmei hilkach sarchtamar kain uvein v'shimon Yerushu sadeh plonit to plonit shenatati lehem b'matana v'yerushum. According to this, Yerushu kama ole aruvein ubatra al Shimon hilkach l'shnehem nami l'shon matana kamar. So the Rashbam is explaining the lashon of Reish Lakish that you need two separate statements of Yerusha in order that it applies to each individual here, one to Shimon and one to Reuven. Once you know that, then you know the matana in the middle also applies to both of them. But if you simply to have just one lashon Yerusha in the beginning, you would say that it applies only to one individual and not to both of them. The Rashbam will go out his way to say that if you said, even if you said the word in the beginning of the statement, Alashon Yerusha, which granted, Sadeh, even though I said it in the plural like this, where he said, Ploni, Ploni, Yerushu, Sadeh, Ploni, to Plonit, that won't be enough. Just that one statement, we will not apply to both parties. You need two separate statements of Yerusha in order to us to apply to Reuven and to Shimon, and that will allow us to learn Lashon Matana is also being applied to Reuven and Shimon separately, or each one individually will get a Lashon Matana, which will override Lashon Yerusha that is applying to them. So now, Gemara says, B'plukta, this is similar to another machlokes that we have seen. Amar Rav Amnuna, lo shanu el adam echad v'sadeh achat. This is only true by one person in one field. Lo, that doesn't work. So that's similar to what we saw above. That's exactly like Rav Dimi's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Nachman amar afilu adam echad u'shtei sadot sadeh achad u'shnei ben adam aval shnei sadot u'shnei ben adam lo. So that is equivalent to right. That is according to Rabbi Elazar. Rav Shevish Amar, and Rav Shevish says, "Afilu shnei sadot shnei bnei adam," even two fields and two people. Right, that is equivalent to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Ravin. Ravin, good name, but Rabbi Yochanan says that two fields, two people work. So here we have right, Rav Amnuna lining up with right, Rabbi Yochanan according to Rav Dimi, Rav Nachman lining up with Rabbi Elazar according to. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's Rav Dimi and Ravin. It works in both of them. And Rav Shevish is lining up with Rabbi Yochanan of Ravin. So now Gemara says, "I'm Rav Sheshit, mina aminala. I can prove to you that, or where do I get my source from? Like we understand, Rav Hamnuna and Rav Nachman, right, are relying on Rav Elazar, relying on Rav Yochanan. And Rav Sheshit goes, what's the logic behind the fact that when you have two fields and two people, and he makes two separate statements that we pull the statements together and say they're one statement? So why is that? So he says, Tanya have a brisa. Homer tnu shekel ivni b'shabbat, varin liten sela, noten lam sela." He says, listen, or Levnai, he says, give my children a shekel per week to live on. It's either that it's Shechiv Meira, giving some sort of... Levnai, right? Because later on it says, V'ru'in, L'ten Sela, right? So that's, so Omer Tznu, shekel Levnai, B'Shabbat, give each of my children one shekel per week. That'll be their allowance to eat. V'ru'in, L'ten Sela, they really could use more. They could use double that. Right, this is a shekel, it's half a sela. He granted them half a sela, but they really need a sela. So then we go ahead, notain lam sela, we go ahead and give them a sela. So again, this is a position either shechiv meira, and or a case where it's someone who's going the medina sayam, and he gives these instructions. So then we go ahead and we say, what did he really mean when he said give them a shekel? He says, I want them to live b'tzimtzum, I want them to be frugal. So I'm only granting them a shekel. Not that he didn't want to grant them more, but he wants them to use their money wisely. So that's how we interpret his statement. V'imamar, but if he says it as a negative formulation, say, al titnu lahen el shekel, if he says, do not give them any more than a shekel, then we say, ein odin lahem el shekel. We don't give them any more than a shekel. So if, in the, when he makes a positive statement, we can reinterpret his words to mean, listen, be frugal with them, we know they need more, but make sure that they're frugal, then we'll grant them more, right, and say, listen, that's what he meant. On the other hand, if he makes a negative statement, then it can't be that we can reinterpret that way. It means he doesn't want them to get any more than a shekel, then we can't give them any more than a shekel. Via mamar, and if he says, im me too, if they pass away, Yerushua cherim tachtehem, others will inherit instead of them. Ben shamar tznu, ben shamar altidnu, einit nilahem el shekel. In that case, we only give them a shekel. So if he grants them some sort of a remainder trust here, they get the shekel per week until, you know, they pass away. And then once they pass away, whatever remains in the estate will be granted these other people. There, we clearly know that the meaning of his word shekel means to be only a shekel, because otherwise there'll be less left over. The fact that he's leaving a residual to someone else is indicative of the fact that he means that only a shekel, we're not going to grant them any more. Vahacha, this case is, k'shtei sadot u'shnei b'nei adam, dami. It's exactly a case of two sadot and shnei b'nei adam. Why? Because the grant, there's one grant to the original children who are getting a shekel per week. There's a second grant to the individuals who will get the remainder trust, who will get that which is left over by the children. So now, how did he formulate the first lashon? He said the first lashon was either tznu or al tznu. He uses lashon matana when it came to his kids. Give them a shekel per week. But then when it came to the second lashon, he said, V'yamar im meitu, yershu acherim tachtehem, yershu acherim tachtehem. He said, those that come after them will inherit them. So he used the lashon matana when he granted to his children, and he used the lashon yerusha when he granted the remainder trust to those that were after them. So over here is one section lashon matana, one section lashon yerusha, and what does the braisa clearly indicate? V'ktani, tekoni. And my braisa says that it works. That they're koneh, that the remainder trust works. So you gave the kids a shekel per week until they pass away, then the trust or whatever's left over in the estate will be given over to the acherim, even though you lose the lashon yerusha. So you say if you have a lashon matana, lashon yerusha, two separate statements to two separate individuals, two separate gifts, and we say that the lashon matana governs and everything works over here. So that's right. So who motivla, who mefarikla? He says, no problem. I'll answer up this right, so for those others that it won't fit. Meaning that you have a problem. You have a problem, meaning it works for Rav Sheshet. But what about all the others, right, in Rav Yochanan's name, Rav Elazar's name, who don't agree that Shtei Sadot and Shtei B'nei Adam works? How they can answer? He says, B'ro Oili or Shok. It's not a problem. But this right says when the people who are there are Ra'uili or Sho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. This is according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that someone who is able to inherit should have been ben Abanim, that he grants such a gift to, that you can even do it by Lashon Yerusha. So those individuals who don't agree by Shtei Sadot and Shnei Bnei Adam that it does not work, the Matanah does not override the Lashon Yerusha, so what are they going to do with this Braisa? They're going to explain, no, the Lashon Yerusha that was used in the Braisa was a gift that was granted to someone that was a Yoresh. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you're allowed to do that. Meaning that you're allowed to use Lashon Yerusha and disinherit someone or give a greater portion to an individual as long as they are a proper Yoresh. So that's what we're going to learn tomorrow. It's the Mishnah tomorrow. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's position is as long as there is a Yoresh that you're granting it to, you can redivide whatever way you want.
So they get it basically.
They're getting it in Torah Yusha. The kids get it in Torah Matana, and then the other individual is granted to it gets it in Torah Yusha. Subject to a machlokas tomorrow, how far do we say Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka goes? What do you classify as Yoresh? Do we say only the first line of Yorshim, therefore you can grant to a ben abanim? Or do we say, no, even a bat, b'malkum banim, you could grant it, because she possibly could inherit if there were no sons? And that, how far you take that, right, is obviously a question. I assume not too, I mean, that obviously you can't go too far, but the, right, it's endless in some way, but the assumption here is that it has to be some sort of within the parsha, let's call it Nachla, someone that would have been otherwise in the parsha of Nachla mentioned in the Torah. So you're talking about father, uncles, you know, children, daughters. So something in that range, as long as it, maybe you could disinherit the children and give boys and give it to the girl. That would be subject to a machlokas in tomorrow's daf. Alright, now, Amar Avashi Tashma, Nichsai Lucho, Vacharecha Yirash Ploni. All my possessions are to you. And after you, right, someone, they will inherit it. V'acharei acharecha irash ploni. So there's three levels here. He grants it to the first individual. Says after him, so-and-so will inherit it. And after them, so-and-so will inherit. Mate rishon, kanashini. The first one dies, it rolls to the second one. Mate sheni, the second one dies, kanashlishi, it goes to the third one. V'mate sheni b'chayei rishon. What happens if the second one dies while the first one's still alive? Then you have a problem. Why? Because the only way that the shlishi, the third person, gets his rights is through the second one. And then you have the first passing to the second passes to the third, but now the second disappeared. So what do? Yachzeru nechasim liyorshei arishon. They remain with the first individual's yorshim. I mean that it stays with the first. Nothing ever happens. There's no other command or fulfillment that he can do. The first one got it. He can't pass it to the second. The second doesn't exist anymore. So therefore, the third automatically will not get it, and it will remain with the first's yorshim.
Are these life interests, or are they? For instance, you've got the first, second, and third.
Right.
If by the time the first one dies, he's spent it all.
Right there, it sounds like this is like what Joel was asking.
Does he have the right to?
Yes, he does. It sounds like from the Gemara and other places, is what Joel was asking, that if he spends it all, it's gone, and there's nothing
to
remain.
It's not a life interest.
No. The previous case was the live interest. This case is a case where it's fully granted. Full ownership is granted, and whatever remains, right? Whatever remains will be passed down. If there's nothing that remains, there's nothing to pass down. That is correct. Right. The Gemara discusses in other places whether it's right to spend it all, whether you should leave some over. Whatever the that should be done, but this is show what the case that you were describing before, the Saft and the Brat. This is that case where you should, if he doesn't leave anything over, there's nothing to talk about. And this is a geish the shtei sadot ushnei bnei adam dami. This is clearly multiple gifts. Viktani the kana, and over here we say it works because only in the first case did he say anything that resembled the lashon of netina. He just said nichsaylach, which is a granting of the nichasim to the first person. But then acharecho, after the next two grants were all done with lashon yerusha. So he used the lashon matana or netina for the first, but then he used the lashon yerusha for the second and third. And what do we say? We say if there's something left over, it passes to the second. Something left over passes to the third. So we see it's working, even though he used the lashon yerusha. Now, how are you going to answer this? Now you can't answer it. Before you could have answered this was Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and we're talking about relatives, but over here you can't use that answer. The chitayim alchanami bro yudir show, Rabbi Yochanan ben Ochi, Yochi mate sheni kana shlishi. If it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you're really going to say if the second one dies, the third one gets it. Ha shalach Rav Acha braid the Rav Avya, the divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, nichsai lecha v'acharecha de ploni, Rishon ra'uy the yorsho, and the first one is ra'uy to be yorishim. Ain sheni b'makom rishon klum. It ends there. She'ain zeh lashon matana elashon yerusha. That's yerusha because Rabbi Yochanan ben Yochanan believes that type of gift is a real yerusha. According to the Chachamim, you can't go and take. Say he had five sons, and he gives one of the sons all the property, and he grants it to them. So according to Chachamim, you can't have a Yerusha like that. So it's clear he granted it as a Lashon Matana, he gave it as a Matana. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that's not true. Even in that case, you could create a Yerusha like that. You could take one out of the five sons and grant them all the property. If that's the case, when he says such a thing, he means it, derech Yerusha. Now if you grant something as Yerusha, there is no such thing as a continuum of Yerusha. Yerusha ends. I mean that if you grant it as a gift, then you can say, listen, this is a gift, and the next one is also a gift, and the next one's also a gift. So the first one got it as a gift, the second one got it as a gift, the third one got it as a gift. But if you say that any one of those people is granted it as Yerusha, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Yochanan, that's the end of the line. Yerusha does not have a continuum. Once someone is Yoreshu, you have no more power over the karka. I mean that if you grant it as a matana, you can stipulate whatever wants in the matana. A gift, you control all the options in the gift. In Yerusha, you control nothing except maybe the grant, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you can control who is the Yoresh, but once they're Yoresh, you have no control. And if you say that they will not get, their children will not get it, and it goes to the other brothers afterwards, you are Matner Moshe Kadu Batarah. You don't have a right to do that. Once something has been granted as Yerusha, that's the end of the line. Ein la hefsek. Over here, what does it mean that Ein la hefsek? Ein la hefsek means there's no more discussing. It remains in Yerusha, it remains with all the... So if one brother inherited, his children will inherit him afterwards, and you can't say when he dies, the other brothers get it. That won't work. And let's say Yerusha stays in that line, and he can't control Yerusha once it's left his hands. It's no longer his. So the Gemara says, Tuyufta de Kulu, Tuyufta. That's a big problem for all the opinions that don't agree, either with, there's only two people who can work with this, either works with Rav Sheshet, right, or Ravin and Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin and Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Sheshet, who both said two fields with two people works, the Shon Matanah overlines the Shon Yusha, they will be fine with this Brisa. Otherwise, it's a Tuyufta, this Brisa is a problem for all the other opinions.
It just says, Mechasai Lecha.
Right.
Doesn't say
right, so we assumed it's a Lashon Matana. So fine, works as a Lashon Matana.
It could be.
Right, so okay, granted, it's a Lashon Yerusha Matana.
Yes.
And the second person, what are you going to say? He used the Lashon Yerusha.
At the very least.
So then from the second to the third, you can't have it work. That's the problem, right? So fine, even if we grant you that the first one was a Matana, the second one already used the Lashon Yerusha, and then he can't have it go to the third according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But right, according to the Brisa, it does. So Rabbi Yochanan Baruch can't be the author of the Brisa. If he can't be the author of the Brisa, the others can't explain this Brisa, and it becomes a problem for them. So now, let's say it's also a problem for Reish Lakish. Right? What is the? Why would it be a problem for Reish Lakish? Because Reish Lakish says that you have to have a double Lashon of Yerusha, you have to have a separate Lashon of Yerusha for each one, plus Matanah to override them. Here, the Brisa clearly doesn't have that. But it has separate Lashonot for each individual, and yet we're saying that it all works as a Matanah. So he says, no, Vitisbra. Can that be that it's a problem for Reish Lakish? Why? Rabba says that we pass on Aloha like Reish Lakish in these three instances. You know, one of those instances, our instance right here, we pass on like Reish Lakish. And the only time it works, Lashon Matanah governs all the other Lashonot, is when it's clear that each individual got a separate Lashon Yerusha, and therefore each Lashon Matanah applies to each one of them individually, and therefore it governs. So it says, Lokasho, Kan betoch kedei dibur, Kan lechar kedei dibur. It depends how you formulate the statement. Is toch kedei dibur or outside of toch kedei dibur? So this comes back to your question in the beginning. You asked, what about tfos lashon rishon, tfos lashon achron? Where does that all go? Well, here it is. This is where it shows up. Here it has to do with toch kedei dibur and not toch kedei dibur. Here is v'yuchasa. Halacha is kol toch kedei dibur kedibur dami. Anything within a toch kedei dibur is classified as a toch is kedibur dami. What is a kedei dibur? Toch kedei dibur that is subject to a machlokes. We show him whether it means shamalecha rebbe or shamalecha rebbe umori. The reasoning behind it. Why does it work? So we've seen this before. Actually, we've seen these tosos before. The Rabbeinu Tam claims that it's so that if you are engaged in a transaction in the shuk and your rebbe passes by, that you'll be able to turn and say to him, Shamalecha Rebbe, and continue the transaction and not be bound by your first statement. You're able to continue the transaction, not be bound by your first statement, say that's the end of the transaction, and be able to continue afterwards. Rebbe Tenu Tam said it's a practical issue of Toch Kedei Dibor. The Toch Kedei Dibor Dami is because of that practical application. They read questions, and it says, we see the Gemara uses Toch Kedei Dibor in other places, in other situations where there's no issue of speaking to your Rebbe. I mean, that he claims the end, the low public Rabbanan. That the Rabbanan didn't differentiate. They used one Lashon, basically what the Rebbe is saying. Maybe the Rabbeinu Tam is right, but once they had this vehicle for determining when a statement ends or not, then they applied it to other places. You could say that, or you could say, we saw this around in the Darim and others implied, that Toch Dibur is not, it has nothing to do with speaking to the Rebbe. It's just a indication or a time frame which the Chachamim use to determine a single statement or a multiple statements. I mean that when you say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, right, that's a full statement and a thought, a full thought. And therefore, when a person takes that amount of time between two statements, we already know that he's into a new thought. So you give him the period of a thought, and that's applied broadly. It's nothing to do with the practical application of he's in a transaction, he's trying to talk to his Rebbe. That's not the case. It's just a way to indicate when do we consider something as separate thoughts, separate statements, or one statement. And Toch Kedei Dibur is a single independent thought or statement, and that'll be that's the dividing or the amount of time that divides between them. So now, how are you going to read all these statements? If you look in the Rashbam, it's helpful Rashbam. He says it's the last Rashbam. Hilchos Kol Kedei Dibur Dami. Kol Shnei Devarim Shadam Motzim Mipiv Zecha Zev. Person says two statements out of his mouth, one after another, Betoch Kedei Dibur, within a single statement. Shesiyem Devar Rishon Itchil Devar Achron. As he finishes the first statement, starts the next one. Lo Chashvinen Le Nimach. We don't consider a retraction of the first statement. El Arihu Kilo Amar Shnei Devarim Biachad. It's as if he said both together. And if both are practical, meaning that both can be, you can make sense out of both statements, they're not soter, they don't undermine one or the other. So, for instance, he gives examples. If you say, right, then he makes it something, or you makdish something as an ola and a shlamim. Over there, since he couldn't say it at once out of his mouth, what he means is, I'm going to sell the animal, give half to an ola, half to a shlamim. So the fact that he said it in two separate statements is just a practical issue. But if he says it without thinking before, we consider as if he said it as one shot. But if the possibility is that one lashon will work and one lashon will not work, then we say the lashon that works will be the one that works. So over here, for instance, Yerusha, not necessarily the second, whichever one can work, will work. So if you use Matana and Yerusha, if you use the lashon Matana and Yerusha, so one of them works, Matana does work, Yerusha does not work. So then we're going to say that the lashon Yerusha is Batel, we ignore the lashon Yerusha because it doesn't work, and the lashon Matana will govern in the case. Now, v'im shneim sotrim zedzeh, what happens if there is some sort of right problem between the two lashonot, that if you enforce or if you say both of them, then it won't work. For instance, right, we had that before where he says, I'm renting it out for a year at 12, or month by one at one. So those are two statements that are contradictory. I mean, they add up to the same in the end, but they give you different rights. Or a person says, I'm selling you sab sela, right, each sab sela and a kur b'shloshim. So again, the totality of the statements are one, but each one grants you different rights. So they're soter. The rights are being soter echad etesheni. So what do you do there? Answer, shol. Then you have a machlokas. Tfos lashon rishon, tfos lashon acharon, or safek. That's where the machlokas of whether you would go after his first language, his last language, or do we go after both of them and it's a safek. There, where it's a case where it's soter, we don't know which one he meant. Then we say that there's the machlokas between the statements, or the Gemara has mentioned us many times. Some say that it goes after his first statement was clearly the first, was the one that governs. The second one he was trying to change and it doesn't work. Or we say no, it's supposed to lashachon aruchon. Changed his mind and it's going to the second one's going to govern. Others say it's a safek which way it goes, and therefore you have to be worried about both lashonot. But that only comes up when there's soter achad etesheni, and you can't reconcile between. If he says, matana, in toch de dibur of Yerusha, then we're going to apply the lashon matana to everything. If he does not say it, we're going to say that unless he says Yerusha separately for each one and says Matana for both of them, then it applies. That'll be Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's opinion is a case where he didn't say it, and the Brisa is talking about a case where he said it, and we have Matana and Yerusha. Matana is the one that works, Yerusha does not work. So we're going to say Matana governs over the whole case because he did it, Reish Lakish says, if it's not Tochadei Dibor, then Matana will only govern in a case where he said Lashon Yerusha for each individual, and Lashon Matana would apply, or he said one for each individual. So again, the end of the Gemara's conclusion is Hilchasa Tochadei Dibor Kedibor Dami. That's a blanket statement. Chutz Lavar, except for Avodat Kochavim and Kiddushim. Except for Avodah Zarah and Kiddushim. So in both of those cases, actually the Gemara in other places, for instance, in Nedarim has a more extensive list, which is also Migadeif. It's Avodah Kochavim, Migadeif, and Kiddushim and Gerushim. So what you could say here is that these are just subsets. They give you the main headlines. Avodah Kochavim, Migadeif is a subset of Avodah Kochavim, and Gerushim is a subset of Kiddushim. Why are these exceptions? Why don't these work? So the Rashbam claims that if in Hippis, or Hikse Davar Lavodes Chachavim, a person made Kodesh, something to Avodah Chachavim, or he says that designates something for Avodah Chachavim, he can't reverse that. That's it. Because of Chumras Avodah Chachavim, he can't do that. And by Kiddushin, he says the same thing, that it's a Chumra of Rabbanon because of Mamzerus. We're worried about Mamzerus, that if people reverse their position, people won't know, and then they'll think there's a Mamzer here. That's the Rashbam. The Tosus disagrees and says there's no such thing as Kodesh to Avodah Zara. You can't be makdish something to Avodah Zara. I don't know what you're talking about here. But rather, he says that if he sold something to a Kohen Avodah Zara in order to bring it up for Avodah Zara for 7 years, to fatten it up, to bring it up for Avodah Zara, once he grants it to the Kohanim of the Avodah Zara, he can't renege on that. Or, the Re suggests another explanation, which I think makes the most sense, is that he says, Eliyata, you are my God. When he says that, if he makes a statement of Eliyata to a, and then Tochadei Dibor, he says, no, I didn't mean that. That reversal doesn't mean anything. And it could be that it's Gzeres or Katuv. Once someone has accepted Avodah Zarah as Elita, you can't go and change the statement. That's such a powerful, definitive statement that whatever you say afterwards is meaningless. And that could be Gzeres or Katuv by Avodah Kochavim. And the chain will be true by Migadeif, because that's such a, right, statement to one who curses, right? Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a statement that has such power that even if you reverse it after, even if it's a joke in the end, these are such serious issues that you can't say that. You can't say, Eli Atah, no, I didn't mean it. Or you can't say, I'm going to do this, say a curse towards, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas v'shalom, and say that, oh, now I'm going to reverse it. The statement itself is so powerful and so, right, taboo or off limits that once you state, you can't reverse it anymore. That's just not acceptable. So that could be the Gzeres HaKatuv by Megadev and by Avodat Chachavim. And when it comes to Kiddushin and Gerushin, he has the same reasoning as the Rashbam, that it's a Chumrah de Rabbanan. And the Gemara mentioning Kiddushin here, but it also means Gerushin. Okay, we'll stop over here.